Once again, we want to extend our love and greetings to those on the CD subscription list across our great nation here. And this morning I want to share on a topic that I have shared on before. It's called the capacity to endure. And if you'd look in the book of Hebrews, please. Anybody been watching the Olympics these last couple of weeks at all? A couple of people? I have been. Now and then. To think about this a little bit when those people are cross-country skiing so far and you just think about, or even any of the events, how much time, how much effort, how much practice, how much dedication and commitment these people have put in to really perfecting the skill of, say, ice skating. It is amazing the type of time and effort and energy people put into these things to really be that skilled. And you know, it kind of evokes certain things in my life because I see the kind of commitment that those people have to, you know, maybe in some ways things that really, in our perspective, from a biblical point of view, really don't amount to that much. You know, figure skating, skiing, snowboarding. I mean, in the greater perspective of life, where does that rate in terms of priorities? You know, fun, wonderful, leisure activity. But I want to read in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. It says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher, or perfecter of believing, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint," right up here, in your minds. And sometimes I think we, a lot of the pressures, honestly, that many of us face are self-imposed. We aren't really under a lot of stress from our government, from people out in the world, for the type of beliefs that we have. We can very freely carry a Bible around, not have our lives threatened. We can meet in a public meeting hall like this and not be concerned that, you know, the police are going to come in here and possibly we would be arrested, possibly go to jail for what we believe in. You know, in certain countries, it's actually like that. I think it's a little hard for our minds as Americans to actually comprehend because in some ways we are just so blessed in this country with the freedoms and the liberties that we have to worship so freely and to just kind of come and go as we please. In other cultures, I think a person will notice if you've traveled at all that life is a little different in other countries and in other worlds. And I think Josh and Ken will find that true to be when they travel to India as well. It's a totally different culture. And, you know, maybe life isn't quite as easy there. They were just telling somebody the other day that when they travel, they probably won't have bathrooms indoors. There may not be flushing toilets. There may not be hot water. There may not be laundry facilities. I mean, there's a lot of things, like I said, that we take for granted that if we didn't have those things, it would really upset the way we live. I mean, can you imagine going through a day without hot and cold running water, without the ability to take a shower, without the ability and the comfort of standing or sitting on a nice bathroom facility and just having the comforts of these things that, you know, many times we just take, this is just the way it is, and it gets to the point that we got to have even better quality of these sort of things, and sometimes that even causes stress in people's lives because they don't have the better quality of things that most people in other countries are just taking for granted. See, most people in other countries don't even have. We are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. The Word of God says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And you know what? Maybe we can just turn that all around and just really, you know, take time in our lives to be thankful for what we do have. You know, great homes, great families, a loving wife, loving children. You know, maybe everything's not going perfect for you in your life. Well, welcome. Welcome to the human race. Because life isn't fair all the time, is it? Things don't go perfectly all the time. And we just don't have everything just gelling and coming together 100% of the time. There are struggles. There are opportunities. There are things that we have to really work through in our lives. But with God's assistance, we can really be victorious. See, in the midst of any troubling circumstance, any troubling situation. See, that we don't become faint and weary in our minds because we have a great Savior who's already paid such a huge price for us and blazed such a great trail of believing. Jesus Christ has perfected believing. See, we aren't looking to be the perfecter of believing. What we're doing is looking to emulate that which Christ has already accomplished for us on our behalf. See, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. See, we want to have the capacity to endure today, this moment, 5 minutes from now, 10 minutes from now, 30 minutes from now, an hour from now, 2 hours, 3 hours, throughout the rest of this day, to really be able to endure with a positive mindset, with a solution-oriented, goal-focused desire of our heart, and working in partnership with God, that we would be able to see those things come into being a reality. See, our great goal, the great finish line that's coming, is the hope. See, it's not the burdens and the tasks that have to be accomplished today. If you're thinking, well, I got to go home and I got to do the laundry, I got to pay bills, I got to get on the computer, I got to, you know, a million other things you got to do. You know what? Those are just tasks to be accomplished. The great goal is the return of Jesus Christ. And if we can focus on that in our day-by-day living, you know what? The tasks of everyday life seem to lighten up in light of the return of Jesus Christ. You know, Dr. Werwell said the greatest book he ever wrote was Are the Dead Alive Now? And that individual, that man, wrote a lot of books. Had a great heart for God, great ministry, for those of you who had exposure to him. But you know what? He said the greatest book I believe I ever wrote was Are the Dead Alive Now? You know what the subject matter of that book is? The hope. The hope. Because if we don't have a vision of the hope of Christ's return, then we will get burdened down with the day-to-day tasks that come our way. So we have to keep our eyes focused on the finish line. See? Just like any great athlete, they're looking to the finish line. They're not, you know, worried about necessarily how they're feeling in the process of the competition. See, I mean, that could be very deceiving. Because you could feel like quitting pretty soon right after you started. You know what I mean? If you were running or starting to feel uncomfortable or whatever, you would just, this is not worth it. See, the finish line, keeping our minds on the goal. There's a great poem, it's called Don't Quit. It says, when things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high, and when you want to smile, but you have to sigh. When care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Life is queer with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learns. And many a failure turns about when he might have won had he stuck it out. Don't give up, though the pace seems slow. You might succeed with another blow. Often the goal is nearer than it seems to a faint and faltering man. Often the struggler has given up when he might have captured the victor's cup. And he learned too late when the night slipped down how close he was to the golden crown. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tint of the clouds of doubt. And you can never tell how close you are. It may be near when it seems afar. So stick to the fight when your heart is hit. It's when things seem worse that you mustn't quit. What a great encouragement. What a great motivator to our hearts to just not give up, to just get even more cemented in. It's like the dog soldier, you know, the Indians. They would stake themselves to the ground on a length of rope. It was like an initiation for warriors or something where they would stake themselves to the ground and then a length of rope would be tied to their ankle. And they would just stay out there for periods of time to prove their bravery and their courage and their steadfastness and their desire, see, to be really committed. Let's look in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The title of this teaching, if I don't remember if I mentioned it or not, was The Capacity to Endure. The Capacity to Endure. See. To not give up. To stand. Many places in God's words continues, it encourages us to stand. Stand. See. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. For though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed, how long? Day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Where we look towards that finish line, the tendency is just to get so focused on the senses information that we're presented with right here in this temporary world we're living in, that just consumes us. And it just distracts us from keeping our vision up, you know, that it's bigger than just today. See, and we've got to be able to somehow capture this so we can communicate this and kind of hand the baton off, believe it or not, to the next generation, so that this Word of God just continues to live and that the mystery just doesn't die because, you know, I'm not here, Bob's not here, you're not here, to carry the torch forward. See, that's about what it's all about making that Word of God your own. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment. See. While we look at things which are seen, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. See. At things that are not seen. Do we see it and then believe it? Or do we believe it and then see it? See. For so many years, God had to come into manifestation in the senses realm for people to be able to perceive God. You know, the burning bush, pillar of fire, other various things that happen. See. Now, it's very unusual sort of that God would ask us to believe and then see. See. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We're in a competition. Verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Sure, seems like that sometimes. Because the tendency is to want, when something goes on, you start feeling uncomfortable or analytical or whatever, you know what you do? Start putting more rules and regulations on the flesh. Because it's got to be something I'm doing. And so we want to hammer ourselves harder so that we'll maybe start to feel better about ourselves. It's a very bizarre thing. I don't know. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Boy, you talk about a goal. I challenge you with that one right there. Demolish your human logic to the high point to which you have exalted it against the knowledge of God, and bring every thought into captivity to God and the Word of God. See, that is a mighty goal right there for a human being to control their thinking. You know, and that's sometimes why I honor these people in other countries. Say a country like India, where, you know, Bishop Pillai, I believe, came from, a wonderful man, years ago, taught on subjects like the stayed mind. We work with our kids to get them to stay their minds. We work with ourselves to get us to stay our minds. You know, in some of these countries, even though they may be poorer, quote unquote, in terms of material things, they had a lot of things that they built in their culture where it really taught people to stay their minds. And that was a very good quality. I don't know if you've ever practiced at times to try to keep your mind focused and stayed on something for X amount of seconds. It's very difficult. And it's an indicator that most people's minds are very untrained. And we live in a very distracting society where it's just, you know, the society and culture kind of trains us in that way. I mean, it's just boom, 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 boom. It's just constant all the time. You know what? That's the way most people think. That they're sort of scattered in their thinking. Now, take a verse like Isaiah 26:3 that says, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, for he trusteth in thee. For out of the for as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." There is a lot of verses in God's Word that draw the correlation between how we're thinking and how we're living. See? Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. I challenge you to practice on staying your mind. Just try it for 30 seconds sometimes. You know what? It's amazing how challenging it is. Just to actually keep your mind focused 30 seconds without letting any other distraction come in there. And then you can go to a minute, and then 2 minutes. You know, and then maybe we'll have longer periods of time where we can actually, you know, stay focused. Oh, gosh. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Our capacity to endure, our capacity to really stand. You know, there should be a song that said, "Victory is just a thought away." And that's so true. See? Because the battlefield is right up here in your mind. It's not in your big toe. See? It's what is happening here that really controls what's going on in the rest of your life. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 24, it says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, a.k.a. things like the Olympics and other stuff like that. And I kind of actually enjoy watching it because they're so skilled and they're so excellent in what they do. I want to get to be that excellent in walking with God, in manifesting the Spirit of God, in having a heart for God like that. See? Not for a corruptible crown, but for an incorruptible. See? And so that I practice what I preach. See? Verse 27. I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. See? I don't talk out of both sides of my mouth. I don't try to. See, I don't try to tell people to do one thing and then go do something else myself another way. See, we don't want to be castaways. We want to practice what we preach. We want to be sermons that people can see. See? Remember the old poem, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. See? See? It's how we live and how we carry ourselves and how we project and how we love people and care for people that really is the proving ground of our lives and the Word of God that we believe. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'd like to close here in a great section on the hope. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 51. It says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Verse 55, O death, where is thy sting? Grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. Verse 57. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be unto God. What a great thing for us to be focused on this week. The victory that we have in Christ. The thanksgiving that we can really offer. The praise we can offer. The worship we can offer. The ability we have to really look at the good things that we have in our lives. We might as well. Life is like a fleeting moment. I think Ken said, life is like a vapor. Bam! You know? We aren't like Adam. He used to live, you know, Adam lived a long time. 800, 900 years. Have you noticed the trend's going down? You know? When somebody lives to be 80 years old, you know, you think, boy, they've really lived a rich and full life. I don't know what it must have been like living to be 900. You know? You had children, then you're like 250 years old. You know, it's amazing. But every day, we can just take advantage of it and just be thankful for the life that we have. It may not be perfect, but it's the life we have.
Verse 58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor, it's not vain in the Lord, because our vision is not on this temporary stuff we're dealing with. See, our vision is so much higher. Our desires, our finish line is so much greater than just the daily tasks that we're going through. Success is failure turned inside out. The silver tint of the clouds of doubt, and you can never tell how close you are. It may be near when it seems afar. So stick to the fight when you're hardest hit. It's when things seem a certain way that you mustn't quit. Father, thank you for the great joy of holding forth this word of God. And Father, you are just the most unbelievable Father.
Lord, that you can work with us and help us to just have that childlike believing. And Lord, that we can just walk in the grace that you've given to us, that we can manifest the qualities of Christ within us. And Lord, thank you for our capacity to endure, just continuing to grow stronger and stronger day by day, moment by moment. And I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay? All right, Bob.